my Siman Kuf Gimon I would like to finish today the Shulchan Aruch and Emor Shach, and then as I move on. I don't remember if I asked you to do the Taz. Did I ask you to do any Tazes? Did I ask you to do the Taz in Sifkat Amnav?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember what Yud is, but I know what Vav is. So even though I'm skipping ahead, I assume I asked you to look at the Nekudas HaKesef too?
Yes, in brackets.
Okay. Did anyone figure out what is the Machlokas, the Shach, and the Taz? You have a few minutes until we get there. Okay. It's a very interesting Machlokas, if I understand it correctly, with theoretically broad ramifications of halacha, except for it doesn't really matter since we're going to pass the line of Shach against the Taz. And the Taz sort of changed some ideas when I was thinking about what actually they were arguing about. I don't think I've ever thought about this before, which I say that now just to reiterate the point that this is the fourth time I'm learning Yoredeya, and there's some things that I'm only starting to see now. So that may be my own deficiencies. Maybe most people pick it up on the first, or second, or third time. But okay, so let's start at the beginning of, let's start with Sephala. And Hillel, I'm going to impose upon you. Avi, can you just lower that back shade, the one right behind you? The glare is. You need to use that. Yeah. Hillel, go. No, Beit Yosef. Shulchan Aruch, excuse me. Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Gimel. Okay, so that's pretty. That is pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. Either dabar is be'en, it has to be pogum mamish, and if it's b'tarobes, then it has to be. Then even if it's not pogum, as long as it's pogame tarusto. Revisiting. An issue that a number of you, I think Ruben bothered me about today, and Danny and I put out and shared the other week. I was rereading the Tshuva of the Rashba about the question of Tam, and I want to highlight one point, which I'm not sure makes an argument stronger on one side, which side makes a stronger argument, but you raised the issue of, you know, the question was, how do you jump from Pogum b'fayatzmo to b'tarobes only pogem b'tama. But I want to point out the Rashba, that was not the Rashba's question, actually. His question was only in a very limited set of circumstances, and I kind of glossed over this in my answer to you, and I should have been more aware, which is, he's not bothered by the case of Regna Tan Hitra. He's only bothered by one case. He's bothered by Kizayas Kutok Be'afi Las Ras, where you're already, in a sense, dealing with Mamasha Shal Isser b'tarobes. You think that's where the question really emerges. In other words, when it's less than Kazayas, so all that you have is Tama. And if Tama was Pogum or Pogame, that's not a Chiddush. That can be easily extrapolated from a Mashal Shel Isser Ve'en. If a Mashal Shel Isser Ve'en has to be Pogame, so does Tam have to be Pogame. The tricky part is when you have Kazayas B'tocha De'afi Las Pras, so it's now considered in some level, the Gemara calls Mamash Shal Isser. How then do you jump from Mamash Shal Isser Be'en versus Mamash to Mamash Shal Isser Be'tarobes? And that's a better question. And there your argument would carry. The Rashba nonetheless says, I didn't really answer your question. I answered the question of why, up until that point, it's obvious and it's not a finish. The Rashba is forced to grapple with the fact that even. When it's b'taroves, but if it's kezayis b'toch b'achilas prasa, that's mamash shel iser. So there is mechadish that the Torah that we're mechalek between. The Torah only asered the thing when if it's pogum but not pogum legamri when it's b'en mamish. But when it is when it's b'taroves, so then you say that it's sometimes there's a custom. And you're right. That's the Ran's position is a much stronger argument when you narrow it down to the question of mamash or shalisser. Obviously, the Ron, you know, was talking about a case of mamash or shalisser because that's what the Oz process, because what is the Ron dealing with? A situation where the volume is so much that it increases the total volume. He's talking about somewhere between a rove, where you have a rove of isser, a heter, and you have such a significant majority of heter where the volume increase doesn't benefit you. So I just thought that was worthwhile refining. Because the Shulchan Aruch starts here by making the fundamental point that there are two kinds of dosei tam of gam. There's a dosei tam of gam of pogam mamish, called nevel srucha, and then there's a dosei tam of gam where it's l'shvach b'chneatzmo, but b'tamo, it is pogam. Okay. Now the Ramah says, right. So the Ramah says that the din of Nosei Tal B'Kam doesn't apply to Beria or Chaticha Dwi, the Shachetz, Chaticha Dwi, the Skabe, the Dover Shibininin. And then he says, he has in one word, what's the next word? Or three words. It's kind of funny, actually. The Ramah says Kaberia or Kayotsebo. So what does Kayotsebo mean? More things that I'm not listing. So the Shach says Chaticha Iskabe, Vedever Shibininin. The Chihagadna. Right? So he's adding something else. The Pesachai Shuvah talks about this question.
Really?
What? Sith Katan Aleph. That's exactly what the issue is. Some wanted to say, the Prima Gadim says, like, Balechayim and Davashe Shlomatir. At least he doesn't say it in Shach, he doesn't say Vechayagadna. You know, then you keep going. It's turtles all the way down. So the question is
you
that...
throw onto a list.
What?
I just thought you throw onto a list when you didn't intend to be exhaustive.
What's that?
Well, you're going to throw onto a list.
I know, but the problem is that the Ramah said a chule, the Shach chose to fill it in, he stuck a chule on, so there has to be something more. Anyway, so there's a discussion whether or not Davashesh Lamatirin, whether Nosei Tam of Gam helps you. Right? Because by Davashesh Lamatirin, it's not about the Hashivus of the Yisr. It's just simply, you can do it in a way that doesn't rely upon Bittul. So do it that way. Which the same thing could be said for Davashesh Lamatirin, even if it's Pogum. Right, you want to rely upon Nosei Tam of Gam, which is a kind of bittul, in effect. You're saying the Isser doesn't leave an impact, it's Bakel here. So the answer is, so, Davashesh Lamatirin, wait until it's Mutter. Jonathan?
The mention about the body that falls into the water, what was this in the water?
It was probably Truma. No, it wasn't Davashesh Lamatirin, no. Wasn't that Yuri?
If it's Davashesh Lamatirin, you can't... Even, it doesn't matter if
something
pugum falls on, you can't eat it anyway.
Correct, that's the point. So that's a machlokas, achronim. The Prima God and the Pesachei Tshuva argue about this particular question. Do you say that that Nosei Tam of Gam works even by Davashesh Lamatirin?
What does that mean? What would that mean?
It would mean, let's say you had a Beit HaShnol de Biyonto, but it was rancid, became rancid. Or, okay, let's say the Beit HaShnol de Biyonto, egg doesn't work well in this particular tafshil. It makes it worse.
And it, so by accident
it got mixed. And it got mixed
by
accident. Okay. So would you say this, it's a Nosei Tam of Gam, and you say no, it's a Davashesh Lamatirin. So therefore, even though Mitzad Tam, it wouldn't aser, and because it's Pogum, nonetheless, don't rely upon the Bittul. Simply wait till after Yom Tov. Okay. Yes.
Just, what's the reason why when it's,
again, so the reason why a beria is not the tail if it's Nosei Tam of Gam and Chaticha Ruy Deskabe is because a beria is usher even in a situation where it's not Nosei Tam.
Right,
so it's not batel, but it's not batel because it's Tam. It's not batel because it's Chashivos. So if even if the end happens to be Nosei Tam of Gam Nisketi Tavshil, the Chashivos is still there. The whole point that we see later is once the end gets broken up, now you only have a question of Tam. So if the end is considered Nosei Tam of Gam, so it's not a problem. Maybe you don't even have Shishim. But even if you have Elef or Rebo, It doesn't matter if the barrier is shlema, so it's not batel because it's chashev, and it's chashev whether or not it's pogim in this tavshel or not. Okay. Yeah.
The argument here seems to say if the barrier is in and of itself pogumah, then it's not, then it is batel.
Yeah, isn't the basic quote the Ram that says that like a barrier is that these disgusting barriers are nevela srucha or.
You can't say that. When it's be'en, it's in a sederaisa. We all know that. I don't know. You said the Aruch Hashulchan. I'm not to the Aruch Hashulchan.
Okay, it's Yadal here. He uses it later. He wants to explain when people don't check lettuce properly. He says that maybe it's because why is that button?
Okay. Interesting. Yes, he's defending the practice. It's Kal Yisrael. A long-standing practice. As opposed to some contemporaries. Yes.
Side question that deals with... This might be a broader question.
I actually want to go talk about that Aruch Hashulchan today, but someone we're going to come to that.
I may have forgotten the answer to. If you have a pot of soup and a piece of bacon falls in, and it's noting down with gamas, the soup that's made worse by bacon or whatever, and there's shishim and everything like that, I assume with Yachol Asiro you're supposed to, even in noting down.
Absolutely, that's called Nikar Iser.
So if I see in the pot and there's shishim, whatever you have, the bacon is over there. Can I take a spoon? Like, obviously, I can't shoot the whole thing down my mouth because I'm eating the bacon. So I'll here. But can I take a spoon? This spoon doesn't have any bacon in it. And even if it did, it would be no titam of gam. Can I eat from the soup that's not, if I'm not eating it,
in itself? In theory, probably yes. It would be a non-recommended practice because we'd be afraid that when you take some of the soup out, now you'd be left with less than shishim and bacon, so you'd let it cool, or you remove the bacon. Okay. We'll see. We're going to encounter that later, so we haven't encountered yet, but that's... that when Isser falls in to a pot, if you can't remove the Isser immediately, you should let the pot cool down before pouring anything out, because you may end up pouring out enough heter where you no longer have shishim in the remaining stuff.
And in the Beis Yosef's discussion of the achbar and things like that, the reason that it needs to be, we don't rely on that, oh, I'm not eating any bacon right now by a sheretz, is because there might be a little hair that you can't recognize.
Well, it might be a little piece. Well, let's wait till we talk. Okay. Let's wait till we get to Siddhartha for that. Siddhartha. Yes, Moshe. Yes.
If the barrier becomes, like, makes the stuff inedible, then is it considered davar, is it usher then?
Well, personally, remember that barrier levitale is only Durabhamas. So you're saying, what if the effect of the barrier is, Mishnama, the answer? That's a good question.
It's inedible.
Well, you can eat. Can you eat grass or paper? Paper. That's a better example people will understand, right? Statistically speaking, I don't know what the statistics are, but there's probably some percentage of people in this room who, at some point as a child, were sufficiently bored in class to try eating paper. Okay, let's stipulate that. It could be out of 30 people, one person, two people, three people, whatever it is. Is paper edible? I guess we've encountered one. What's that?
What's that
it's not edible. You can...
Have you ever had those, like, cookies with nice little prints on top? A lot of times they're actually paper you're eating.
Some paper
like,
what?
It's edible. Like, there's no show value in it, really.
Hi. I'm not going to say it anymore, okay? I think we understand that being able to ingest something without necessarily keeling over and dying does not make it render it edible. Thank you. Let's move on.
Is that any different question from Gail's question? Because it seems to me like there are some more questions.
No. And Moshe's question is now, he wants to know, if the rest of the food can't be asr mitzad, it's not roi lachil, it's nevela srucha, what about, but there's still a berry inside? And some of the answers, it's still asr.
Why?
Because you can't eat it because the barrier inside is lo betela still.
Yeah, but you're not getting any benefit from the barrier.
Well, you're not either when you eat it when it's betaroves and it's nesei tamukam.
Well, at least I guess the mamashus is there, but here even the mamashus is not helping you.
No, what do you mean? The mamashus is there in any taroves. As long as the ant is still intact, even though he's now in this disgusting food because it ruined the food, as long as the ant is still intact, you can still... In other words, the concern is never about its tam. It's a zera mid rabbanon to say that in a taroves, a beria is like you're eating it b'fnei atzmo. If that's the case, it shouldn't matter if the rest of the... Right? It doesn't matter. What difference does it make whether the beria ruined the rest of the food, or what difference does it make if you take a beria and you bury it somewhere in this large paper edifice on your high metzger and you eat it? Right? It's still eating the beria, which should have been bought though because you can't find it, but it's not mitrabanan because it's there,
but Pekima does not work through negating, from creating Bitzel.
What does it work through?
Pigima.
Actually, it probably does in some level. We say that the thing which is no same time of gum, it's still there. We say it's vato because its time is vato.
Oh.
In other words, we should have stated this already, but it's why it's probably the reason why we say no same time of gum Ashkenazim is not mutar on Pesach, because no same time of gum is a kind of bittul. And it could be they stated explicitly, but the point is, what's the difference between, you know, the same iser falling into a tavshil which is l'shvach versus l'fgan? Right. The answer is, in one case you can taste it, and we say tam alabatel. In the other case, it has the same physical mitzvah is there. Now, there's the same physical properties are there, because it has a negative effect. We say that tam is considered batel. It's considered irrelevant. I think so.
Okay.
So that's why I think. Beria says we're not talking about the issue of tam anymore. We're talking of tam anymore. We're talking about the issue of being still be'en. That's the gzerim of the rabbanon, to treat the beria when it's in the tarobis as be'en, right? As opposed to what the Torah law is that only when it's be'en, mamish be'en, is it considered be'en. But when it's mixed in with something else and you can't see it, can't identify, then it's potato.
And that's all only when the beria itself is still, you know, roda shela. Meaning,
correct,
obviously the
beria
itself is a
mitzvah,
it wouldn't help.
Correct. Well, time out. That's a very important question. So that's a big machlokas in the Gemara. It seems that most Rishonim reject it. And then it's not. Actually, you're asking the question of what happens if you have your assumption that, of course, if the beria itself is srucha, that it's mutter. Well, that depends on was it srucha before it got mixed in. And if it was srucha before it got mixed in, it's not going to make a difference that it got mixed in. You might say srucha, in other words, if it's something that people are cuts by it. Right? In other words, Rav's argument that one reading, Sheshis' understanding of Rav and the Gemara in the next simon, is that since it's Mo'os anyway in the first place, so it's not no same time of God, is also the Tarabas. So my answer to you is that if it's the kind of beria that people would be cuts by even before it got mixed in, then because it's already considered that way, the fact that it's mixed in doesn't make it any better. No, now it makes it the Rabbanon, it does make it better. Or less bad. But yes, if the ant was considered the shvach when it was separate, and now it gets mixed in, and now the ant turns srucha, so then that would be mutter. Yes. Even if the tavshil wasn't, because now the berry itself is mutter to eat even the ant. Right? And if the ant was srucha, and the mala srucha, assuming that a mala, which is not srucha, is edible, but a mala, once it's srucha, it's like an avela srucha, so you can eat it. You don't need the tarobas to be mutter. So of course it can't. Something which is mutter to eat can't ask for something with tarobas. I think
it might be the exact same question, but if you have a beria, it's quite a question I asked earlier. You have a beria, you have a tzipor tmeya,
yeah,
and it falls into your soup, and you have shishim keneged kulo.
Yes.
Can you eat the soup as long as you know it doesn't have any bird in it?
It's to take out the bird. All
right. Well, one second, but the bird is no say tamashvach or no?
Yeah, it's like no say tamashvach.
So again, but
you have shishim.
So again, if you keep eating the soup and you leave the bird in there, you're eventually not going to actually...
That initial spoon of soup is fine.
Yes. Right. Most of us, again, as I said, you know that famous mashal the Gemara Gittin has about their different deos for Adam, in terms of how they engage in their relationships with their wives. The people who, who are totally insensitive to their wives, you know, behaving in appropriate fashion. The people who are such katam, and the people who have an appropriate way of behaving. So the mashal the Gemara gives is there are three kinds of people when a zvuv falls into their kosh shel yayin. Okay? And I think sensibilities have changed. The istinus pours out the entire cup of wine. I think that's where most of us would be today. Okay? The beinoni takes a spoon, he spoons out the fly with the wine and tosses it aside. So, and the person who's totally, a manuvel, I'm not sure, I don't remember what the Gemara's word was, but he is not discerning at all, takes the fly out of the soup, sucks the juice off the wine off the fly, then tosses the fly away, and then drinks the rest of the wine.
There's a new category. You put a straw into the wine, you make sure that has like a fly-proof
seal. That will be adin. Okay, there we go.
like achiyuv to be, I'm saying in general, achiyuv to be macy or something doesn't oser the rest of the tavshil.
Well, correct. If it's not hot and so on, and it's not kabush, then theoretically, yes, you could eat around the fly if you like.
Right.
But that's different than eating on the fly. So, fine. You see, seems to. I'm not sure what you're driving.
Until this morning, I just assumed that if you're chayav to be masi or something, that means you can't eat it until you do. But it seems that that's not the
technically
case.
Probably not. You see,
not chametz issue. Chametz is not batel through being nifgan.
You mean nursing time of gamma, ashkenazim pasdin is awesome.
Right, but what about if before Pesach? Let's say if you want to kosher utensils in a pot.
No,
so then at the time of chametz, at that point it's pagum and therefore.
So that there we rely upon nafarnan, and it becomes not tam at all. Okay, we get the pogum out of the pot, and then it goes into the water, and anything would go back into the pot. By the time it does so, is not bar not bar not, and that doesn't not bar not. Tom pogum into the water into the pot, right? So it's we rely upon not bar not.
But if we want a modulo kalin inside of the pot,
yeah.
So is that a problem because?
Let's wait till we do halachas kalin. Okay. Anyway, fine. Move on to Basil.
Gamza Pinsar Shifkum the Gamma Yachihe Katsalakra. Allah Fil Pogim Kisan Kehos Ritarabatim.
Right, that's not the Pogim. Magami even Pogim a little bit. The Shach there talks about that passage from Agos Sashiri about Natnazintam Lufgan Olashvach and the example of the Gid Hanasha, which again is something that has no taste. I still don't quite understand it, but okay. Yesh misha omer,
tahinu dafka kishenetzarit iser muat in heter bruva, val iser bruva l'toch heter muat, afil metza metza, in omer notin tam with gamoter, ad shiv gam gamre. Shenu goer ma'afa adam.
Stop. There's something very odd about Mechaber's formulation. And really, every time I read it, it throws me for a loop. You know, see, what is that?
For me, it was the yesh misha omer.
Yeah, what about it?
Because it implies that there's another shizah.
Yeah.
The shizah is that even if it's more than row, that all means pugging sas.
Right. That with every time I read this, I come to the same conclusion that the Mechaber thinks that there's a third daya. There are three dayas. Daya number one says if it's pogame, it doesn't matter how much shizah you have in it, even if you have a row. Daya number two, this is the Rashba, holds that as long as you have a majority. Okay? And day number three is the Ran, who says, no, it's not enough to have a majority of heter. You have to have a small enough amount of iser that the additional volume is not benefiting you, outstripping the fact that it's podium and tam. Right? It's very, very odd. It's not what the Mechaber... So I'm wondering, who is the first shita then? Who holds that even if you have a robe of iser, that you can sum up one of the talent of God? And the answer is? Nobody. So what's going on here? So I think... The formulation is misleading because really what the Mechaber is coming to tell you is that Yesh Misha Omer the formulation is misleading. The issue, the Chiddush of what's the Kula of the Rashba? There are two ways of handling this. One way is to say that it should have been, it's not of a Yesh Misha Omer. First he tells you the Din. Now, Yesh Misha Omer, the following. And not in the contrast to what we said before. New parsha, Yesh Misha Omer, that it's only mutter if you have a robe. But once you have a robe, it's mutter. And then the Ran says it's not sometimes not enough to have a robe. Right? The formulation is very, very misleading. I think the reason he says this is because the last piece before he gets to the Ran, which is the im. Right, which is a fascinating shita, by the way. It's a fascinating shita. I think the Shach points out that you wouldn't say this if you were dealing with tzir. You wouldn't say that if you had, you know, some type of tzir shel issa that it fell in, that since it's only, we wouldn't say that it's only tama. Why is it that when you put a piece of meat into a pot, and then even if you took the piece of meat out, we assume it asers up to kula? Because we're afraid all the flavor came out, all the tzir came out. And we know that if the piece is 3 ounces, you know it's not 3 ounces of tzir. But we don't know how much came out, so we're machmir to be mishar with 3 ounces. But here, basically, it's fascinating, because the Rashba say, no, we're going to ignore that. Now, even with tzir mamish, the shach and sivkat and dalim, it would be usr. We wouldn't say that tzir is only tam. But when you're talking about a mythical tzir that comes out of a piece of meat, it's not mythical, I mean, there are particles that come out, that out of a piece of meat into the tafshil, if you pull the piece of meat out, and the piece of meat is pogame, then you're only left with tam. Then you're only left with tama, and therefore that's batel, even if the piece was larger than what it fell into. Even if there was a robe in the piece connected to the stuff it fell into, once you pull the piece out, then all this, even though we normally don't know how to be Mishire, here somehow we know how to be Mishire, that it's less than the stuff that was in there in the first place. Okay. Now, does the Ron, by the way, argue at this point?
Not explicitly.
Not really. Not explicitly, maybe not really. He might agree with the... in fact, I would say, Adarabah, the Ron is likely to agree with Rashba with this. Why? Because when you pull the piece of meat out, typically speaking, that fell into this tarobes, how much additional volume do you get from the meat?
Zero.
And so all you get from it is tam. And the tam is worth to you zero. And the volume, additional the volume, is worth zero, because it is zero. So I think the Ron should agree with the Rashba, which makes it, in which case, really, if I were writing the Shulchan Aruch, there's a good reason I wasn't the one writing it, but if I were formulating this particular halacha, I would have said, v'yesh misha omer, she mutar, she im yesh rov beheter, it's mutar, mikol makom. And I would have mentioned the second. And then you quote the Ron as saying, v'yesh misha chochech. You know, what's that word, by the way? Any know that word? And you know where it's from? I don't remember. Was it even in the Torah in Beis Yosef?
Yeah.
What?
The practices tell you where it is.
I know. It's a word that's found in the Mishnah. First Mishnah in the Darim. Rabbi Yekiva ha'yachochech bo la'avir. Not clear. Chochech, I always imagine, like, it means making a face. Related to chech. I'm not sure if that's what it comes from. But it's like... Right, when you read the Ron, wasn't absolutely categorically certain, but it was like... It's no tab, but you have to kind of capture. I'm not sure that fly. Again, I assume Choche is like. That's probably what Choche is. I'm not certain, but probably.
I guess like that's where it fits with the Ron's formulation. That in da zi
no. Right, that's why that's the Ron the Chaver says v'yesh misha Choche.
Not
v'yesh misha Oser.
No, that's his own position. That's a,
yeah.
Whose position?
I think the Ron said Karov ani lomar.
Right, he didn't say he's black and white usher. He thought the Rashba was wrong, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't called like 100% in favor. So the yesh mi shechokech lomar.
Shenhigil ha'isar mi betel shahatir ache mashpiach yoter kesh ochlo begoda mi betel pogin behasid tamo usher ache sam melacholat.
Now, so here the Shach already points out that this is a new point. It's not really related to Nachlokas Rashba and the Ron. It's saying, No sin talmud gam es mutav. Amedra memurim. Just before, a note, by the way, but Taz makes the same point in Sifkat and Hey, which tells you that when they read the Shulchan Aruch, it was somewhat jarring. Right? In other words, it didn't flow. It almost belonged to be its own simon or something, sif itself. But okay. So when is it true that Nosei Tam is Mutter, Shepogim, I'm sorry, Mikhlaso. So the Shachir in Sivkat and Zayin notes, and some of you had asked me this during the course of the last week, what if it's Pogim now, but you typically add salt later, and it now won't be Pogim anymore? The answer is it's Mutter now, when you add the salt later, it's Asa. That's because you can choose not to add the salt. For right now, it's a Mutter. Once you choose...
I thought the Shach was saying that even if it's going to be... So for Lashpiach Mimela, it's still mutter to eat now. Even if I let this egg sit in the soup, which now is bad, if I let the egg sit in the soup for
I don't know how you see that
minutes.
In the shop. I'm not telling you that he would disagree with that, but I'm not sure how you see that.
No, but your case really is the case of you might add salt later doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush.
Well, it is a chiddush if the assumption is that's what you normally do. Then this is not really a Nosei Tam Lefgam. So you might have thought that technically you're avoiding it, but really it's Nosei Tam Lefgam, because that's what will happen. In other words, if you follow the normal process, it will be Asur. So you might say that we already treat it, you know, as Pagam Ulu Sofish Biach. The answer is no. It has to be Mamish Mashbiach. It's not a huge Chiddush, but it's a...
Isn't that exactly what the Shach says that exactly?
No, I didn't suggest that the Shach is saying means that even if it's right now Pagam, but Memela it's going to be Mashbiach on its own.
Yeah.
No, I thought he just says that Perish Achar Sheshpiach Avo Kodem Sheshpiach Mutter Avo Pisha Esher Sheyashpiach Achakach Kema Dahash Tepogim Hu Midi Hu Midi Dahave Achaser Asmelech De Lekaman. That's the...
Yeah, this is one example.
I didn't say the Shach is against what I didn't say. I just said it's not explicit in the Shach. He might very well agree. I could see someone coming along and saying, you know what? If it's a process that's going to happen in Mela, Kala Omeid Lashpiach Kemushpach Doni. Right, if it's not Ayyidei Maisa Adam. Right, sometimes we have that principle in Allah, even with Ayyidei Maisa Adam. Call me Litzor Kikatsu Dami. Right, something like that. But so I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying it's not explicit in the Shach.
I would say the Shach doesn't mention Koach Adam or your.
The example he cites is Chaseras Melach.
Yeah,
which means it's missing salt right now.
Oh, okay.
So we're saying any rough tikka that falls in, as long as you take it out before it gets cooked, is nothing to look down because they don't like raw meat?
No. If you have something that's totally bottom, okay, I'll take my favorite example is not naturally bottom because people, well, I mean, it's not that anybody ate it straight out. Ask the fatita. It has a positive, it apparently smells something god-awful, as its name suggests. I don't know if anybody ever ate this outright. It might not be considerable, but you put it in a tavshil and it improves the tavshil. So putting raw meat in a tavshil, even though the raw meat may not be, assuming it's not edible, now that's not necessarily true even, then if it improves the tavshil, it's called the sintam, the shvach. I don't care that...
If you cook it, but if you don't, let's say you put it in the flash freezer and immediately brought it to freezing.
Yeah.
And stopped cooking it. But then all the juices in the tavshil are nothing to come with gum because it's only raw meat juice. People don't like to eat.
I suspect that even if it's, if you take your piece of meat and you put it in the tavshil and it improves the tavshil, then it's not listening to tamukam. Even if, you know, as you're talking about something people don't like to eat ben, but it's, you, nobody would say that's listening to tamukam.
Why not?
Why? Because you put it in a tavshil and it improves it. It's not saruach meikar. It's not inedible.
But for the first 4 minutes of this pork chop being in your soup, it makes it taste worse because it's not your...
Probably doesn't. It probably makes it taste better.
It probably doesn't.
Right.
I don't think
that's not called pogam l'samachbiach. I think that mitzis, that's mashbiach immediately. Right. However long that you cook the meat, you can take both the meat out halfway, throw the meat away.
The question is, in this vein, what about something that's a dafachayif now, like garlic, it's a great example. It's dafachayif when you put it in, when cooked garlic does not have a very strong taste.
Correct.
So it's chayif l'samachbiach, not chayif.
Well,
so
if it absorbs tam, when it's charif, then it's mashbiach that tam. If it already is cooked, in other words, the whole shayla with onions is only when they're cooked. If you want to cut a cooked onion, you know, or a grilled onion, which is cold, or not cold, if you want to cut a grilled onion with a melted knife, you won't make a clean melted knife, you're not going to make the onion melted, because it's not sharp. For sharp purposes also, as the Taz points out, I think at the and later in the simon, it's you follow a roof. You have a mixture of stuff.
And if you cut it with the milk knife, and then you cook the onion, let's say you cook the knife too, and you take away the chayif with the tar and both of them.
No, I think when it goes, if the milk is l'tam, but it goes into an onion, it's mashmiach the tam, it's mechal yaleh, it sweetens it literally, and it doesn't matter later that now the apostle...
It's mashmiach v'sopa.
Minimally speaking, yes. Okay. Minimally speaking. I'm not even sure it's pogam later, but if I understood exactly what was going on. Again, remember that this is a big machlokas of Rishonim. There are many Rishonim who assume that when you're dealing with a clean kli, there's nothing to talk about, there's no issur. But that's why the Mechaber quotes it, I think that's like a Yesh Misha Omer or something like that, because a lot of Rishonim don't agree with that. They assume that the reason why the sakim of cutting chiltis and the hot sock and shachat kubot snow, and there's a problem, is because the shamnun is the end on the knife. Yeah,
going back to the last thing that the Rashba says, so in the case, let's say if we're talking about a food which is no sintam l'shvach, and it's more than half, and it constitutes more than half of the mixture, and then you take it out. So let's say for me, Benino, do we treat that as being Basur Midaraisa or only Basur?
There was no Seitam L'Shvach.
I'm saying, but it depends on
whether you, well, hold on, because there is or not. I think if you pull the Be'en out, you probably don't have a Kazayas to talk to Achilas Prasi. If it's a Seitam L'Shvach, because there is or not.
So it depends. I'm just saying, is it so like Mechudash, this din of the Rashba, because... Meaning, we're just saying it is
because we're used to saying we don't know actually how much came out of it. And all of a sudden now we're saying, you know what? We actually do know how much came out of it. We know that it wasn't all of it, and we know that it wasn't even anything near enough to be a robe against the thing it fell into.
But I thought it just like we're saying that it's very possible that all of it came out, but it's all pogan. And therefore
no,
it spots out.
But if all of it came out and you really had the volume of the chaticha that came out, it would be also. You'd have mamashas, a rove. You'd have a rove of Issa. That's why I told you the Shach points out in Sifkat and Dalav, tzir falls in, it's also. Tzir we tend to associate primarily with Tam. But there is mamashas there. So that is what comes out of a piece of meat. The issue is how much comes out and whether that's, you know, that's what we call tam, but it's really particles. It's the tzir of the chaticha, the juices of the meat that come out.
Okay,
that's what flavors it.
So
it is a chiddush. Okay. Now comes along the Rama. This is the most puzzling aspect, and here's the machlokas, the shach, and the taz. Go ahead.
Rama,
yes.
Alright,
so let's stop for a moment. So this is the Isser Beheter that the Rama is quoting. And says that the pot becomes Asa. Even though the foot is mutter, the pot is aser. The Gra writes here in Osches, it's exera, kederish ena ben yoma, atula kedera ben yoma. The other Rishonim who reject this, Isser Beheter, is because there's no exera on no Saint Tam Latham. There's only, as I said last week, exera on a pot which, when the Belios went in Lashvach, and now the pot, the Belios on Lefgam, they would go there eno ben yoma, atula ben yoma. But here, the ben yomo itself. In other words, you might say, how can the koach ha-oser be greater than, how can the koach ha-nesar be greater than the koach ha-oser or something like that, right? If the if it wouldn't aser in the food cooking now, then why should it aser the pot cooking in it now?
Is it a gezera that maybe you'll do it when it's not lefgam?
Gezera do what when it's not lefgam?
Meaning when...
Well, then it should always be, and you tell me, it's going to be usher to do anything to an Avela Srucha. Unless you might come to do it when it's Lashvach. But they didn't make such a broad gzera. Right? They could have made such a gzera. So the Ramah, so this Isser Beheter, now, you could say the concern is the following. That the next time, if you cook Me'es La'es, of the Tavshil, which the Isser Harishon,
isn't what you said with the Gra saying? Because the Gra says,
I know, the problem is then, but there is no Isser in cooking that, there is no Isser in that Davar HaPogim itself. If it's Pogum Bifnei Atzma.
Whether the Gra saying that the Ramah is in, is a Gzeira Shema.
I understand. The question is, where did that Gzeira come from?
Okay, you're saying that.
Okay. We discussed this already.
It's a gzera on pots because maybe they'll think that things that are usher never usher the pots. If you, in any situation.
They already made a gzera. Firstly, it's those that come to shvach a pot 24 hours is usher, and maybe a gzera not for cooking it afterwards.
Right.
It's not like you wouldn't know that pots can be usher. Okay, I don't want to beat this thing to death.
Is there ever a situation where an inu ben yomo pot will be going to tam shvach?
Well, yeah. Well, that's the next case. But that's an interesting.
No, an inu ben yomo.
Yes.
In
the Davar Karf. Right, so, and he says, there are cases where the Isser, here he says, a Benyomo, they might have a food in which it's no Saint Tam, and this particular food is no Saint Tam, the Shvach. Okay, I mean, you could argue that's what the Gzera is, that the Tavshil Hasheni, you might cook in this pot something which isn't no Saint Tam, the Shvach, therefore we asur the pot. Even though the Isser itself was Poge. Now, the interesting thing is the Ramah says you need Shishim Keneged HaEser Rishon. What does he not say you need Shishim Keneged?
The Taroves.
Right, the Taroves. Why? Because the Taroves itself was mutter, the food you could eat, and therefore you don't say. Hanan on the Taroves itself. Okay, that was what the Shach says in Sivkatan Tesla, Aval Eitzor Shishim Neged Kol HaBalua Bakidere, Dachevin Dohaya Pogum, Lo Nasin Avela. Okay. Aval. So... so the now continue. Aval
in Nero Tapshil Rishon Bekaf, the Tapho Akakaf, Hakaf of Tapshil Shini, Shu Gamkin Pogin, Lonas Hakadir, Bechin the Dover Shinlo Tam Klau, Gomayora Shinatipin Bohadvash.
So if you take a spoon, now you will deny the Tapshil Harishon. Okay, and what happens when you do that?
You take that spoon and put it into another top shell?
Correct. Where it's also pogame. So he says that the gedera is not asura.
What?
So basically, what's you have a kaf that you stirred what with?
Tarobes that was counting the tacos. Was counting.
Right. So you might have absorbed the davar pogam in the spoon itself. But right now it's pogam. You may take that spoon, okay, and you put it into another top shield. Now that top shield, what's the status going to be?
It's also
done. Of course it's also tam of kam. And you're now dealing with tam sheni. And now it goes, where does it go from that top shield? Into the walls of the second kadera.
Not by not.
He just told you the first pot was mutter. Why does he tell you that the second pot?
No, the first pot is not mutter. The tashil is mutter. The pot is usher.
If you have a taroves, notin tam lefgam.
I have a taroves where an iser falls in and it's pogam in the taroves. The pot is asura, right? That was the first thing. And I take a shpun and I stir this tashil. So it means that theory some of the iser goes into the spoon as well. And now I take the spoon and I stick it into a second tashil. Now the spoon in the spoon, tam harisha was pogam, right? Because it was pogam the taroves. Right now it's pogam in the kli also. So now it goes from the original iser into the spoon, which is pogam. It goes from the spoon into the second tashil, which is still pogam. And now it goes from the second tashil into the wall of the kedera.
That's not
bar not. And that's not of tam pogam. So the Taz says, so the Ramah says it's mutter. So the Shach asks a question. The Taz asks a question. He says, why does the Ramah insist that the Isser has to have been pogame in the first pot? Even if the Isser wasn't pogame in the first pot, the spoon absorbs from the Isser. Then you put it into the Tashel Hasheni in which it is pogame. That's a given that you need. And from there into the walls of the pot. It's still not bar not bar not.
Why would you need it to be definitely on the second wall?
Well, because otherwise it's all the shlach. Everything's asur. If the first one is the shlach, if the iser arish is the shlach on the top shel arishan, you stir it with a spoon. You then take the spoon and you stir a top shel ashen, which is also the shlach. What's the shah that had there? Everything's
asur. It's not still not bar not bar not, even though.
So the answer is no. That's obvious why it's not. Because not bar not has to be a heter, not a iser. The question is, that's what the Taz asks. Why does the Ramah insist that in the first tashil it had to have been pogam? It could have been l'shvach, but in the second one it's pogam, and that should be enough. It's not bar not bar not.
Yeah, but
the Taz doesn't actually say not bar not bar not.
What?
Is it, are the notes kind of not precise about not bar not versus not bar not bar not?
Yes, they're not precise.
They're not precise?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Not about not bar not bar not. Yes. That's going to be, by the way, this will be very confusing at some times when we do not bar not. Okay.
They are imprecise.
They are not until they go out of their way until it becomes an issue. You know, to make the observation between two no stay tam and three no stay tam, which is an easier way of saying it, by the way. You won't get confused by that. Okay. Yossi.
When the tam pogam goes into the walls, it only turns into shvach once the walls send it out.
It only might, depending on what you cook it in, yes.
Right. Okay, fine. So what was it? Okay.
Morty.
Isn't the Taz's case just two nosnei tam?
How do you see that?
Because the spoon itself is notin tam de isura.
Right. So that's what the Shach responds. If you take a look in the Shach and the Kudas HaKesef, he says, Okay, so the question is, what was the Taz thinking? Only one on the page. And the Taz writes, "Utmehani the lamanakat ramokan shakaf neser tchilim iser pogam da'ani mitav shalavishon shaya bo iser pogam afidem hay iser gomer b'kach tchila chavad akher sheish b'tav shal she'oser iser b'shakafu pogam ahavale akadera nath barnat ve'en oseres mashi isvasha bo acharka Afilu im osawa is shibakaf no saint tam the shrach. The kaf no saint tam pogum, tasha, a tasha saint tam pogum, dera, der shatiti, and achakak tam the shrach. The mashi is bashel, achakak have they not burnat tam de tera.
And maybe the spoon is less than shishin for the second optional?
I don't know, I thought, but I think it's wrong. I had a thought about the taz that he held. The question is the following. What if earlier in the chain it's asr, but later in the chain it's mutar? When you say something has to be not bar nata tera, usually what we're focused on is which part of the chain?
The last part,
the last step. Or we talk about something that's bisari, something that's halavi. Right? You know the earlier chains are bisari or halavi. That's not a problem. The question is when you get to the last step, when you, if you are Sephardi and you have a fleshik pot and the meat was no same tam in the pot and now you cook the fish in the pot, now the pot is no same tam in the meat. So not bar not, you need two no same tam for Sephardim, and what you're asking is the food mutter at this particular point? Is the last tam create a problem? And the answer is no, and that's why it's called not bar not that tera. We're not talking about Isser Behete there, we're talking about Milchus Fleshiks, but in terms of whether this not bar not is basar or not, depends upon only the last step. Not the earlier steps. In the earlier steps, it was Valdei Basar. So who's to say that if you have this very odd case where you have a chain reaction in Nesinas Tam where the last one itself is Heter, who says that it's a problem if the earlier ones are Isser?
Yeah, but you wouldn't do it if the Tarum is going to become Basar.
No, but let's take the spoon is a spoon Shel Isser. You didn't have to go into this funny Tarobis or Vedavara, a Pogim Tarobis. The spoon is a spoon Shel Isser. You, with the time that it's absorbed is the first time. I grant you it's a time issue. You now stir food with it. Right? It's, when there's no same time in that food, that nesinas time is mutter. Why? Because it's no same time lefgam. Now the food puts some of that time into the walls of the pot. It's still no same time lefgam. It's not bar not bar not of what was originally isser, which is, but the last time itself is actually mutter. So
why
now...
Like,
because in that food, it happens to be in that food. That's the case we're dealing with
right,
here.
So why is it that
the spoon has to be balua mitam pogum, you know, even balua mitam l'shvach. The shach makes it sound like the sinas tams have to be shel heter. Now the truth is, I'm not sure if the taz actually says that. The taz almost could be seen as working with only two nosnei tam, but I'm not sure. But it's a broader question on the shach. Why is it that you should require three, why do all these, I know that no same, again, when we say not bar not, it has to be not bar not that tera, it means that the last step, when you're looking at the food or the tam in its last incarnation before you want to know, is this now going to ask for things or not, you look at the last step. We don't care about the first steps. Now granted, right, until now we were talking about basar or halav, where it's not iser behet there, it's whether it's basar or it's bisari or halavi. But nonetheless, we don't care that the earlier stages had the intensity of flavor to label them as such. So who says that by Isser Veheter, by Isser, it's any different? I'm not sure if that's what the Taz's position is. The Shach clearly rejects that. The Shach says, in order to get not bar not bar not, every step of the way it has to be Tam Shel Heter. Yuri?
Could it be the Taz is still holding?
But he shouldn't. He's an Ashkenazi. He should be knowing that the Ramah and the Isser Veheter hold that you need three dosnei tam.
The spoon is less than shishim in the second tavsha, but that wouldn't be a problem.
Correct. That's a totally separate question. I mean, the tamo would be batel. It wouldn't be pogam. It would be batel. Adin.
So for the taz, could you use...
Like, I think it's a given. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. I don't have the Shulchan Aruch in my head right now, that if Adin's chazir falls into a pot and it's batel, So whether or not you do eat around the chazir, because that somehow is something you enjoy doing, nonetheless, the pot is mutter. You know, as long as you don't leave at any point where the chazir is in the food, where there's less than shishin to mivatal it, the poon is mutter and the pot is mutter. Right? The Isser Behetar says this, dafka by an Isser Pogim. Dafka by an Isser Pogim. Where there's tam, it's just tam lefka. Adin?
So, according to the Taz, not lechachila, but shouldn't any single... Kli that's Eino Ben Yomo be totally okay?
No, there's a Xera and an Eino Ben Yomo, the Ben Yomo. That's not a hard question.
So you take a chafed spoon that's Eino Ben Yomo and you stir your soup with it. the soup is Oster.
No. Tom Pogum is never Oster's food. It's sometimes Oster's Kalem, but again, the normal case that
in that case where you have your chafe spoon, you stir the soup. Does the pot require koshering? Isn't that his case of Naparnat de Hetera? You have a bacon spoon infused with bacon, but bacon is bad for this soup. Then the pot shouldn't require koshering either.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Okay, I just want to make sure that...
That's exactly what Taz's point is. He says the dinner of the Isser Vehetter should be limited to a case where the Isser Mamish was in the pot. So it's a single knot. Not a... Right? That's exactly his case. It's just the Taz... He's questioning why do you need that Taz Shel Arishon to be this funny Pogum case. The Taz Shel Arishon could be regular Isser. The kaf is below me, so you stick it into a tafshil in which that Isser Valua is pogain. So he says the Isser Vehetter wouldn't say he's in there. That's what he's suggesting. Yudi.
Would it be possible that the Taz holds that not bar not by Pisser stuff, you only need not bar not by, but by Basar Rechal?
I don't think he knows the Ramah holds you need three no seitan.
Is that also true by him saying by Isurim and not just Basar Rechal?
We typically don't talk about it by Isurim. Because normally...
Because there's not really a case.
Right, it's not a common case. Basar and Chalav, Basar or Chalav are the common cases.
What would you say, someone asked you this question?
Don't ask me this question.
Okay.
Usually, I how often do I get a question of a shayla with a spoon that's shel iser or no sin tam of gam? You don't get that question too often. What you get the question is it's Basar or it's Chalav. That's usually the question. So I'll save my... limited brain cells to those questions. Fine. Now, continue in the
Ramah.
Right. This is interesting, because it's a davar shein lo tam klal. How is that different than the Gidon Asha? Of the Ashach, right? Of Davar She'ino Pogim in Mashpiach. Isn't our Ragli Dvarim something that's not Pogim and not Mashpiach?
You're saying in terms of taste or in terms of would you rather have honey without being with?
No. My point is I don't want to belabor this. We discussed this last week. I don't know what it means something that's neither Pogim nor Mashpiach, but I assume it has to be something you taste. The Shach, by introducing Gid Hanasha as a Raya, suggests that it could be something you don't taste at all, but that's contradicted by the Ramah. Ragli Dvorim, he says, there's no Chemi Darash Inul Tam Klal. He says that's not a problem.
Is that because it's like just basically diluting the Tashal?
I don't know. It's just
so then by definition it's making it more Lufthansa?
No, it's not. It doesn't do anything. The Ragli
Dvorim. Right, it doesn't do anything, but it adds the volume of nothing.
Not really.
Isn't it because it's simply in the case of the pot? Because like you need, can only be, no, because it can't be. The whole point is turning a taste, which is puddle into shvach. If there's no taste in the first place, then there's nothing.
I agree. So what? But then why do you say that davar she'eino mashpiach eino pogim is aser? If that means no taste.
Because in this case, it's not. It's some process that's happening through the walls that requires a taste with some valence.
Yeah, but yeah, because in the Shach's case, a different case where that's talking about the tarobis. It's talking about the Shach might agree that if you take a plain Gid Hanasha and cook it in the pot might not be usher.
Right.
Like you could cook the neck. You could cook anything you want in it because there's nothing for the pot to be polite.
And you're arguing that the honey itself is... Okay. The honey itself is what? Why can you eat it in the honey?
That's a question. That's Tosos' question. The next...
No. Unless you say it's batel in the honey. He's only dealing with the pot question. Okay. Gimel, thank you, Hillel. And Hillel's Chavrus and Jonathan. You had to know it was coming. Thank you, Hillel. Seiv Gimel. It doesn't matter. We don't really care why it's pogam. We only care that it's pogam. Okay. Okay. So this is the position of the Rambam and some other Rishonim. And there are some Ashkenazi Rishonim who disagree, which is why the Rambam is going to pipe up. But according to the Mechaber, Shem and the Dvash Ogoyim are Mutter, Basar is Pogame in them. What's that? No. For the redemptive person, there was a gzera on the dvash. What they're talking about, so there was a gzera on Shemin. It's a machlokas hamorayim. Why? Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Ubeistino, Rabbi Yonasi's grandson, did away with the gzera, or formally acknowledged its non-practice. But that was mitzad the Issud Rabbanan, they were gozer. Whatever the reason they would go there. But the problem is, what happens if you know that a goy cooked the shemen in his fleshik pot, which is a ben yoma? So the Ben Machaber is telling you that it's not us, because it's no sin tam of gam. And since it's no sin tam of gam, and no sin tam of gam itself is mutter, and there's no isik zera the rabbanon on shemen shalakum, was there were zera the rabbanon shemen shalakum, it wouldn't matter whether no sin tam of gam is mutter. They made zera. Yes, Liam.
Even though it might be no sin tam of gam, assuming that they're cooking it in these fleshed pots, they don't think it's that no sin tam of gam, because otherwise they wouldn't be cooking their honey or oils in these fleshed pots.
Yeah, so what it really means, but you can ask that as a general question. How do we ever rely upon a pot that's not a ben yomo? After all, if it were pogame, you wouldn't be using it. The answer is, it's not pogame a whole lot, just don't taste it a whole lot. Right. So the reason why you're cooking it is because you don't have any other pots and you want honey. If the damage were significant, people probably wouldn't do it.
No, it's just pogging with the top, which is what we said at the beginning.
Correct.
So the assumption that everyone would cook in a brand new pot if they could.
Right. Which our reality is not, because our pots, once they've been cleaned in the dishwasher, are for almost all intents and purposes like a brand new pot. But you might feel differently if you couldn't get the greasy film off the side of the pot and you did the best job you could. Then you might feel differently.
Even in that pot, if you ask someone, no difference in cost. If you had to cook a brand new pot or a used one, they'd always pick a brand new one. It's nicer.
Honestly?
I don't know. I don't think they care.
Exactly. Okay. Fine. They don't care because the pot that's been cleaned the way we clean it doesn't have any different impact upon the food. Okay. And that wouldn't be true with a cast iron pot. Okay. Well, you have to season it, but... All right. The Rama says... All right, the Shach got a little upset at the Rama, because it sounds like from the, what's the din according to the Rama about Shemen, Basar and Shemen. What? No, it doesn't.
No, the opposite.
The only people who disagree about the Drash.
He only disagrees about the Drash. He doesn't disagree about the Shemen.
Yeah.
So that's why the Shach Sifkat on Yudali, which I'm not going to read, nor explore further, attacks the Ramah and says, no, it's not true. He should have been masik on the Dvash as well. He should have said that the Yishon applies there as well. Continue.
Applies on the Shemen?
Yeah, applies to the Shemen as well. In other words, the Ramah's descent applies to Shemen also.
This goes back to how you read the Gemara.
The question is, what would the Gemara said that in Shemen it's no same time of Gam? What were they talking about? Yayin or Basar?
Right, okay. And okay.
The Rama and the Shach would certainly say, if you reject the position of the Rambam, you would say that Yayin in Shemen and Yayin in Drash are Pogin. It might be that the Rambam would agree with that as well. But the Machlokas is over Basar and Shemen and Basar and Drash. Go ahead. Hey. Well, we have a gum. umoter. There's a discussion in the Pesachei Tshuva whether this is chalav or chalav.
But in the Beis Yosei, like it's, yeah. I think he quotes the Haggis Ashri, and it says sham de chalav ubasar nevela. So it's not chalav ubasar nevela, because that wouldn't make any sense. Once it's
already one buster in the veil,
it's already
Aser.
So
she Chela.
You
might as
well
just read
Yosef.
What?
But
if you look
in the Beis Yosef.
We're talking about
Aserin. Oh. Right, so the Chatab O Sham, the Sam Chet Lamed Basar
Nevela, yeah.
Shenefu Bayayin Badai
Kogan. Okay.
So presumably it's Chela.
Should be Chela, okay. The Machlokas, the Sefer Tosefes Shabbos, and the Yehuda against the Prima Golem. Okay. Anyway. Fine. Read Sif Hay quickly, because we discussed this already at length last week. Oh, I take it back. This is not what we discussed. Good. So, read it again slowly. I'm thinking, I have trouble with my pagination here. Zion is the one that we discussed at length. Okay, go ahead. This is a very important sif. I mean, we've discussed this already also, but not, we've mentioned this many times. Kol Kedera. And then whose sheet is that? Not Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so you need 24 hours. Okay, it's no longer called a bas yoma. In fact, we would say it's an eno ben yoma. Okay? That's the way we term it. But there's here, now we have a machlokes. For who? Fine. That's, in other words, the fatty film on the inside of the pot is not considered pogum after me'is la'is. The yesh. That is the sheet of the Rambam. Okay, he continues. If you have shishim keneged the film, even though you don't have shishim keneged, it's what's inside the pot. If the pot itself hasn't been used in 24 hours, anything balu in the pot, everybody agrees, is no seh tam lechdam, and the film is not, it's not echa mishishim, therefore you don't have to worry about it.
Do you think the small walls of the pot are 60 times the very thin coating of the pot?
No, it means if the top shell in the pot is connected, the thin coating of the walls of the pot are exposed to the food.
Awesome.
Yudi?
Why would it be that the excess, like, nasty stuff that's not bat yomo, why would that not be
The question is, I mean, I presume at some point everybody would agree that the film itself will become pogum. The question is, can you assume that automatically after 24 hours that the film is pogum when it's davar sheba'en, right?
Well, what would be the reason that you would assume that what's balua into the kedera is? But
I don't know how they reached that cutoff point of 24 hours. I mean, the basis is the idea that something, although this could be said for the film on the side of the walls of the pot also, which is something after, you know, the basis for Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Shitas, that linas lilas pogemes, is the fact that you call a nosar with a chazak. If you have a suffix whether you're allowed to eat meat or not, a piece of meat, a kachim, what are you supposed to do with the piece of meat? What do you do? I have a chatas. Behema, and it becomes suffix whether it became tamei or not. What do the Kohanim do with the meat? Yes, what do they do with it? They can't burn it. You know why they can't burn it? Because maybe the meat's kosher, and you're being ma'abed kachim yadayim, and being mevatel the mitzvah chilas kachim. You can't eat it because maybe it's tamei. So what do you do? To ubar tsuraso is the expression, which makes it sound you leave it until it's rotting, which is not. It would be rather unpleasant. What it means, halachically speaking, is you leave it till the morning, till it becomes nosar. That's called ibur tsura. So the question, the Rush pointed this out in his discussion of linas laila versus 24 hours. Why is it called ibur tsura? The answer is because if you leave raw meat out, you know, over a certain amount of time, it will in fact start to become rancid, awful, disgusting. That's what's why it's called Ibert Sura. So anyway, whether that can be transferred or not to a regular case of Nosen Talmud Common Pots is a separate question. The bottom line is that there's what to discuss about the film, but that's enough locus. Okay. Moving on. Continue, Jonathan. Vav. Mm-hmm. The Chorfei Mishav Yalei the Shvach.
Meaning after it's Ben Yom. After.
Even after it's Ben Yom. The Tom, which would normally be Pogame in most foods, and sharp food, somehow the sharpness like kills the bad part of it, and you're left tasting the Tom. The Gemara's expression by Chiltis is that it's Nechal Yalei. Nechal Yalei means?
Sweeten.
To sweeten. Right? The Targum of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Zavas Chalav Devash, is Chali Kedusha. Okay. Probably if you hunt in Biblical Hebrew, you might come up with some cases where you make the argument that where you might have a word like Chali, which means sweet somewhere. I'm not sure. Okay.
I assume you know the modern Hebrew word for like red peppers is also pilpel, and those aren't considered Dovar Chayrus. But this pilpel...
No. They're not bell peppers, no. No, the peppers they're talking about, Dovar Chayrus. Or the spice pepper. Yes.
Bell peppers are New World spice.
Yes. Right. So that's not... well, it depends whether you hold like me or Gail, whether it's Lina Basar Shema or it's Lina Basar Tanya. Okay.
Is there any type of something that we call an onion that isn't a Dabar Chayrus?
I've never met one.
You know what we say, a sweet Vidalia onion or something like that? Or that's
like have you ever had a sweet onion uncooked?
Yeah. I mean, I'm Russian, so just goes over easy.
You wash it down with vodka? Okay. So onions, I've never encountered an onion, even the sweet onions, when they're raw, they're pretty sharp, to put it mildly. I think that means that when you cook them, they're sweeter than other onions cooked.
I don't know. In Georgia, where they're grown, they're meant to be.
The ones I buy in the supermarket are not eaten raw.
The real
onions. Okay, when we get to the end of the year, so Schleien, who will be funded by me, will go into the markets of Washington Heights,
Georgia,
and he will gather produce. If you wish to source it, you can pay for the shipping on that if you really want to prove your point. And we will have our taste test at the end of the year. When we do basar b'chalav, and we get to that simon, and you can determine whether or not these sweet onions are actually edible raw. Danny has so kindly volunteered to eat a large entire one in a short quantity of time to serve as a personal demonstration how sweet the onions are. Okay, I better be careful. Eliyahu might not forgive me. So, all right, Yossi.
The Ramah at the end of Hay, so we can, the Chachila, if the only problem is the Yisr Dabuk, and it's after the day, then we can, and we're going to have enough in the food in the pot to be Mavatel, the Yisr Dabuk.
The film, yeah, I don't want to say Yisr Dabuk, that's a different term. It's a different meaning of that term. Yeah. But the stuff that's Dabuk, if you have Shish to Mavatel that, you don't have to worry about Mavatel the Tam Balua on the walls of the pot, because the Tam Balua is Pagum.
But you still, you have to consider, even if like, once the soup is in the pot, it's mivat the film, but otherwise it's the film is still there.
Correct, it's not mutter to cook.
Oh, it's
not even mutter to cook it even without the film, because of the tam bagum habalua. Because they are in any ben yofto ben yomo. Morty?
So this din that if you put people in a dabra harif into something that's not bat yoma, and it becomes, what's it called, l'chayole.
Right, makes it l'shvach.
Is that... Does that include if it's part of a broader, a different mixture? Meaning if you have pilpilin in soup, yeah, you're maybe inside that
pot. So you follow a rope. The Taz points out in Sif Katan Tes, Umavor b'simin tzadeh sefeis, the dafka ruba davar harpi, shemachi b'in el kofan abatav, l'chei l'gadosh l'nirgash harbe b'kneira. he may be willing to say, maybe because the milsa vila, the time is short of a robe, but you got to have a lot of it. So as if someone says to me, they sautéed, they took their fleshit frying pan, and they sautéed vegetables, and including onions. So the question you have to ask them is, what did they sauté first, or what did they put in first? Because they did the onions first, then it's a problem. They put other stuff in first, then
like
maybe.
Oil.
It's not entirely, what?
Like oil or not?
You can count the oil too, but it doesn't change our purposes. The bottom line is that you follow a rove. Okay. Fine. As I said, not everybody agrees to sip up, because some say that it's only be'en, that davar balua, the davar charev has no effect upon. It's only on be'en. So we will deal... That's why he says it, because not everybody agrees to the whole din in the first place. There is a Gemara. The Gemara about Hiltis in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara about stone in Dagim Shalav Bakara Sugya. It's the Na'bar Na'at Sugya. So that Sugya in Parakal HaBasar in Hulin. So lots of Rishonim don't agree with this analysis. I think you have a look at the Ran in Avodah Zarah, the Ritvan Avodah Zarah doesn't hold this way, and there are plenty. I think most Rishonim don't hold that way, but we are, I remember the Mechaber holds himself earlier, but the Ramah was certainly Machmir. But it's a Chumrim. Okay. Finally, Sif Zayin, which we read once already, but we may as well read again. So, Jonathan?
He appointed me to read this in his absence.
Oh, he had to step out. Okay.
Do you want me to read you?
Okay. No, it's only the cover up and out. Okay. God, Dan, okay. Okay, so the Mechaber adopts the position of Rabbeinu Baruch only with regard to the Basa B'chalav. We already discussed what the Shach had to say about it, and to reiterate it only a couple of short terms, it seems that the Shach's critique of the Mechaber is correct. That basar b'chalav is an isur. Once it's nesam mishum basar b'chalav, you don't say chanan on subsequent things with it. On the one hand, on the other hand, it does seem correct that the mechaber and the Torah's analysis of the sefer truma, assuming that that's a direct quotation of the sefer truma, does seem correct that the sefer truma was based upon chanan, which means you should never have this din at all. So the truth is, the Ramah is going to say makom hefsed. You can be somech upon whatever makom hefsed at the end of this, as the Shach points out. That means even a small amount of hefsed you can be somek, because the hefsed meruba, you can ignore the sefer truma in the first place and just follow the smag. The smag, I think, who says we don't hold of this din. Okay, so now the Ramah adds. In other words, the case is, which be devil basar first, or me at first last week, you cook basar and then you have linas laila. And then you cook challah, which is still aser because it's within 24 hours, that's basar b'challah. And now you mechame mayim, and now it's within, let's say, later in the day, and 24 hours after you cook the challah in the morning, you now cook something. The question is the pot at that point aser, is that a ben yomo of basar b'challah because you cooked water after, within 24 hours, even within the day, of cooking the milk which made a basar b'challah? Or do you say no, that since already you had linas laila between the basar and the chalav, and according to Rashi and Reinu Tam, there's no isur. All the basar b'chalav in this kedera. It's just a kedera which is balua mi basar and balua mi chalav, but not basar b'chalav. So you already have that sheet combined. That it's been that maybe the chimur mayim doesn't do anything. So there, the Ramah says you can be samech upon it as well. The Shach insisted that the mechaber limited his case to the original case, which is that you had. You had linas laila between the cooking of the basar b'chalav and the chimum hamayim. And now it's 24 hours after the basar b'chalav was cooked, but not 24 hours after the chimum hamayim. So the Ramah extends it to all cases. But who adin? So you would apply the same reasoning would apply to you if you cook this in a pot, according to the Ramah, according to Shita. Because when you boil the water in there, it's not... When you boil the water, then the water is nasis nevela, and it's choser venivla, and therefore you should have to count for the time that you cook the water in there. Okay? The ayin la'el. So that's what Shach says in Sifkat and Chaf, it means hefsek tas. Because if hefsek meruba, you'd ignore the chimum hamayim, would be a total nanashi, you'd follow the smag. or snack.
It's
only 24-hour. You can't rely upon. You can't rely upon. Linas Laila Rashi made the time outright. It has to be 24 hours after you cook the Yisr, but the Chimum Hamayim you can rely upon if it took place after Linas Laila that it doesn't reset the clock. Yossi.
If we accept the Shach's point that every single case, that in order for the Shachar Chimum to work, if we say Hanan, we're always going to be relying on Hanan of Shari Suin. We're always going to be working through the mechanism of Hanan. Of Hanan through Shari Surin, right? Because even in case of...
What are you asking? If you hold Hanan by Shari Surin,
right,
then it's not hard to explain the smog anyway with that alone. But he thinks the smog wasn't... his smog was not working within Chatech Hanasas Nevela. He thinks the smog... The Sefer Truma. He thinks the Sefer Truma wasn't... Even the Sefer Truma, I think, does hold Hanan, even it sounds like he says Hanan. The Shach thinks he's not saying this because of Hanan. It has nothing to do with it. He's saying it because even those who don't hold the Hanan would hold that as also because the water, the Shach doesn't spell this out, but we assume the Shach means the water refreshes the blios.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter whether you hold Hanan.
Doesn't the Shach also point out that even that it doesn't make sense for the Beis Yosef to say that this then applies also for the Tur, if it's working through Hanan, because even when it comes to basar v'chalav, right, the hanan, which is half, it occurs in
yes.
Right, so I'm saying, but according to that, so if we take the kula of the Ramah, which is that whenever we're working with Shari Surim, then we're allowed to run the smock. So then shouldn't this then never apply?
No, he didn't say that. Ramakom hefsin meruba, he would say, rely upon the smock, but Ramakom hefsin muat, you can rely upon the 20, by Shari Surim, you can rely upon the any one side of Linas Laila, wherever it took place, is enough by Shari Surim. Like by Basar B'Chalav. Right? The Ramah said by Basar B'Chalav, whether you have Linas Laila between cooking the Basar and the Chalav, whether you have Linas Laila between cooking the Basar B'Chalav and the Shas Chim Amayim, or any other scenario you come up with, the Ramah says that's enough to be somech, to say that to follow even for the Sefer Truma to say that there would be no Chim HaMayim wouldn't there restart the clock.
In the Derech HaMoshe, didn't we say that the fact that we have the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim for Shari Surim, that would allow us to rely on the smock? Right, in a case where we're not dealing with
yeah, again, it's easier to understand that the problem is the smock itself holds Chanan by Shari Surim. But it's easier to justify following the smock if you don't hold by Chanan by Shari Surim. Yes?
Right. What I'm saying was, didn't the Darkin Ocean say that once we that since for Shari Surim there's already a shita that says that Hanan doesn't apply, then that will allow us to rely on the smock in that case, and then meaning we wouldn't need any. We would always say even without.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misreading. One second. No. Only if a Malcolm Hesed can you rely upon that smock. No, I am reading correctly.
In the case of Shari Surim.
Yeah, only Malcolm Hesed. You don't need Hesed Meruba.
Right. So
Hesed Meruba, right. even by Basar B'Chalav, you would say you don't have to hold the smock. Although we would say it doesn't make a difference because once you're not holding it by Chatech Hanasas Nevela by Shari Surim, then Basar B'Chalav, once it's been made Basar B'Chalav, is no different than Shari Surim.
Right. So then it would always be, so whenever we have, I guess, Hesed Meruba, we can always allow.
That's what the Shach would say, yeah.
Okay.
All right, any questions about Siman Kuf Gimel? All right, I'm not going to push on to start Kuf Dala now. We can actually do a full screen S-ray this time. A rarity.